Here's what our presentation is going to be on. We're going to talk about the theory of multiple dimensions. Everyone is familiar with E equals MC squared. And the parallel universe that we live that's right next door. And we're going to discuss all these things as they relate to praise and worship. Okay? I'll bring in the technical elements as we need them. Okay, I've got a list of things we're going to cover. The first one is, what is the purpose of praise and worship? Second, we're going to look at your frequency aptitude in praise and worship. Then we're going to find out what Hebrews 4:16 is talking about. An aspect of praise and worship versus a performance. Then we're going to look at what is true worship. Of course, we're going to have to look at some protocols that are in worship so that we can understand what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And then finally, I have a practical application test at the end that we'll all do right here as soon as this presentation is over, right before we start praise and worship. How convenient is that? Okay. Purpose. Reverencing Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. How many people have read that verse before? Every time we reverence Him, He is increased in us. I like to call this the Torah overlay. It's part of the James chapter 1 system in which you look in the reflection of what the Torah says. It's the character of the Almighty. This is a design of the Almighty to have Him increase within us. We should take advantage of it. Entering in helps to change us and affect our spirits. There are so many aspects to this that I have to pick out one here and one there to emphasize. So I'm going to try to do some highlight pieces. One of the main things that I like about entering into praise and worship is how it continues to change me more into His image. And then I view myself in contrast to the world, and I see it getting wider and wider. And that's very exciting, okay? For how great He is and for all the great that He has done, this is an opportunity when we can express back to Him our appreciation. I think that's reasonable. All right, now I want to look at frequency aptitude. This is a story. You are well familiar with this story. The heart of the king of Syria was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Ha! Yes. So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send men and capture him." I read this and I go, "King, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? You think it's that easy?" And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan," or something similar to that. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now, when the servant of the man of God had arisen early and gone out, this is the servant. Behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" "Fear not." Isn't that a great two-word sentence? "For those who are with us are greater than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "Yahweh, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Yahweh opened the servant's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Okay, we're good with the story, aren't we? So, here's my question. What just happened? I've got two options. Here's option one. As you can see, there is a visible spectrum within the spectrum, and you know it's magnified down at the bottom, and you can see it's a small section up there. We're familiar with radio waves and microwaves and ultraviolet waves, X-rays, radiation, gamma rays, all part of the spectrum. We only get the small visible part. So when Yahweh opened his eyes, is it possible that he was allowed to see a lot greater part of the spectrum here, and maybe these guys were hanging out in the X-ray spectrum? Or maybe they were operating in a microwave. You know, maybe it was a microwave spectrum. He had to see the lower group. That's option one. All right. Now I got option two. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I have to ask you this question. Do you believe that there is one God?
Yes.
Well, who cares? Because it's irrelevant. And you know it. Believing that there's one God doesn't even get you out of the driveway. Why? Because James says, thou believest that there's one God, thou dost well. So do the devils. And we see how far it gets them out of the driveway. Yeah, it's a little more than just, I believe in the one true God. Yeah, just stay in the garage. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 4:16 and ask the question, what are we doing? Let us therefore come boldly. I've put the Greek word translated boldly in bold. Now that I noticed that. No, it's in yellow. It's highlighted. Okay. It's translated boldly in the KJV. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's break down this Greek word. This is from Freiburg, which is a Greek dictionary. He says, an attitude of openness that stems from freedom and a lack of fear. I like that. Openness. Freedom, I'm not fearing. We saw fear not earlier. Number one, in speech, openness, boldness, plainness, outspokenness. I have freedom and I'm lacking fear. In the public workplace, openness. Three, in the presence of high-ranking persons. Well, let me tell you, who are we in front of? I'm going to say that they're pretty high-ranking. I'm just saying. Four, in relation to God, confidence, boldness, joyful sense of freedom. Everybody got a picture here of what this word is saying. So does Dr. Strong. Let me tell you what he says. Freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech. 1A, openly, frankly, without concealment. I like that. I like without concealment. You know, there's sometimes we're talking to certain people and we don't deliver the whole package. And maybe that's okay in that particular situation. But here, there's no concealment. But 1B is even better. Without ambiguity or circumlocution. Especially circumlocution. You see that amongst the scholars all the time. Let's confuse the heck out of this and see what we can beat around the bush with. 1C, without the use of figures and comparisons. Now, I'm not trying to slant the parables. The parables were good. I like parables. I use parables. I'm into analogies. All right. But this word says that you are so openly speaking that you're not even using figures. That's pretty open. Free and fearless confidence, boldness, cheerful courage, and assurance. You see what this word is talking about? This is where we are. Approach the throne boldly, All right? Approach the throne boldly. Performance versus praise and worship. I am not a performer. I had my performing days, but I don't perform much anymore. It's not that I am opposed to performing. I just am not comfortable performing anymore. Okay? That's me. When we are coming before the throne, I do not feel comfortable performing. All right? We come before the Most High. I have to ask this question. Do we really appreciate, and I'm talking about conscious thought, consciously appreciate the awesomeness of where we are and who is before us? Consciously, we all are going to say, yeah, I know where we are. I know who's there. We all will say that, and that's good. But for me, it is awesome that we get to go there. Awesome. Now, when the singers and the musicians are up here, of which right now there's only one singer, but there's two musicians. It's the law firm of Matthew and Miller. This is not a performance. Okay? When the dancers are up here dancing, they are not performing for you or for anybody else. This is an aspect of entering in. And you can, my wife signs, there are other ways that you can enter in. That whole package, what is our job? To help you cross over from the place that you were to the place that you want to go. All right? What is true worship? We know these passages. First one is Romans 12, 1. I urge you therefore, brethren, because of the mercies of God. I've underlined it and highlighted it because I'm going to reference it in the next slide. Look at Paul's phraseology. I urge you therefore, brethren, because of the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. To present as a technical term for offering a sacrifice, that's good because we can relate to times of old. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. Now, motivation to worship. What did verse 1 say? Because of the mercies of God. What God has provided for us. And the result is being transformed. Continuing. Those who participate up here, the desire is to create a space for people to experience and respond to the Most High. Do you need us up here? No. It's not a requirement for you guys to enter in for me to play piano. It's just not, doesn't exist. Or for me to sing, or for Carol to dance. It's not a requirement. But we have the gift that we were given, and Mark plays the drums. And I sing, and Carol dances, and each one of us shares what we have with others so that we can participate with our calling while you're participating with your calling. So us being up here is not required, but being up here and being in a place of responsibility, we want to make sure that we prepare a space for you to be able to enter in. That's part of our responsibility. Now, we prefer songs where the words emphasize the reality of who we are and where we are. Praise songs, worship songs. Praise songs are frequently in second person. We rejoice. We praise. I'm good with that. There's a place for that. To not have that would be missing something. But then there's the place for first person. I exalt thee. We have to have the whole package. The whole package. From time to time, when you hear me play, you will hear instrumental interludes. Sometimes they will be in a fast song, so we could call that a time of rejoicing. You could just rejoice. If you're not dancing in the middle, then you could spin around on your chair. I'm good with that. We allow dancing on tables. Do we allow that? Yes, we have insurance. Okay, so, yeah, I'm trying to be flexible here. Sometimes when I'm playing a worship song, I will have a musical interlude that is slow. That could be for reflection and prayer. So I'm trying to provide you with the maximum of everything that I can bring together to enhance this space so that you can fully enter in. That's one of my tasks. All right, protocols. We can't do this without going through the protocols. All right, so let me ask you a question. This is something that happens a lot. People are late. So it was asked of me to define what is late. What is late? Late is if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late. Okay? Because you need to come in and you want to say hi and you want to get your stuff and you want to get settled and you want to be ready to go at the beginning, and sometimes you can't. I've been late. To this day, I'm late. Periodically, I'm late. But I work at not being late, and it's a challenge. All right, the second thing I want to do here, we have to have a drama. Is my drama? There it is. Okay. I'm going to perform a drama for you. It's a soliloquy. Okay? Imagine you're in the next eon, you're in Jerusalem, King David contacts you, and he would like for you to come and appear before him and Yeshua in person, okay? Remember that true worshiper thing in John 4, 23 and 24? So he sends out his servants and contacts you, and then the servants are bringing you in to Jerusalem, and you're coming in, and you're coming into the temple, and you're there, and here it comes, and then what happens? An interruption.
Call from Mark Matthews, Mobile One.
Hello? Oh, Yeshua, I'm sorry. I got to take this. That's a problem. Okay, distractions exist. They were created for our benefit. I will list some. Children, cell phones, chatting. These things can be a distraction to others who are trying to enter in. Now, we've never really had a problem with cell phones here, but at the feast, when there's hundreds of people, I have a slide. It's got a picture of a phone with a big red circle and a line through it, okay, that opens up every session so that people can come in and do this. And, you know, I've had cell phones go off when I'm speaking, and I'll just turn to the people and I'll say, is that for me? So.
Are you trying to tell me something?
No, not at all. These are things, because I have forgotten, my cell phone's gone off. I try to leave my cell phone on here because people call me and ask, how do I get there? I'm lost. That's happened more than once, okay? So I have forgotten to turn it off, and then it goes off over there. So I'm as guilty as the rest of us, but I'm just saying we need to be aware. All right, let's continue next. Oh, and his laptop went off today too. I mean, of all things to go off. Okay, another reason I'm bringing this up is because as much as we enjoy all of this, there is a serious part of it. Respect for the Father. He has summoned us. I mean, if you had to go to King David, that's one thing. If you got to go to Yeshua, that's a thing. You got to go to the Father. This is big time stuff where we are entering in. And there has to be a level of seriousness. I can rejoice with the best of you, but there has to be a level of seriousness too. All right? Now, if these people up here are all performing, then you should applaud when we're done because we're good. Okay? Some of us are good. And humble too. But here's the thing. If the applause is toward him, then it's very appropriate. Because see, I'm really not interested in you applauding me for what I do. I've been doing this for a while, so I do okay. All right, I know that. Applauding him is where the focus has to be. And I just want to just restate it so that we can be good. All right, now, can we get some help from... Oh, we're still in protocols. I'm sorry. What is a prayer? We just did it. Aren't we speaking to him? I mean, is that that's a general simple, but that's a simple definition, right? Talking to him. All right, well, let me ask you this. What is a prayer with a tune? It's a song. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. So, where are you when these opportunities are taking place to enter in? Where is your head? What are you thinking? I'll tell you. You have the ability to be in two places simultaneously without moving your feet. You can, well, except for the dancers, I'm sorry. Okay. Does it work for the dancers? You can be in this building and you can be in front of the throne simultaneously without moving. I mean, that is cool. Okay? I mean, that beats a transporter. And I totally support transporter technology. Okay? Let me continue. If someone was to observe from afar our behavior during worship, would they conclude that we recognize the awesomeness of where we are and who we are in the presence of? Like, imagine that there's a segment of the angelic host that comes down to visit House of David when we are having our meeting. And praise and worship is getting ready to start, and they're observing it. Are they going to come away with, oh man, those people are so into it? That's a question. Let me tell you about a couple of Hebrew words here that will give us a little bit of help. The first one, 303:4 from Strong, confess, give thanks. Praise is a confession or declaration of who God is and what he does. The best rendering of the term is confession, for the person confesses or declares God's attributes and works. And we do this sometimes in our praise songs. If you look at the words, it's an aspect of the recognition of reality. He's great. We're recognizing his greatness. Not complicated. The next word, 1974, rejoicing, praise. The root connotes being sincerely and deeply thankful. Sincerely and deeply thankful. For and or satisfied in lauding superior qualities and great acts of him. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. We get to do this. Together, we journey on to learn more and more of what it really means to bring meaningful offerings to the heart of God. isn't it Hebrews that says fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name? Thoughts, words, deeds, and songs. We bring the whole of our lives as a response to what? His worth that is without measure. This is just not complicated. This is so easy. All right. Practical application. We're going to do practical application right now. First question. Have we been forgiven? Yes, we have. Does your walk demonstrate that you've been forgiven? You don't have to answer out loud. Don't want to put anybody on the spot, okay? Are we called the children of God? Shh. As his children, should we have fear? What does Isaiah 43:1 say? Fear not. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion. Does your walk demonstrate compassion? Just asking a question. Kingdom concepts. Let me ask a couple. Matthew 6, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We're looking for it. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The kingdom, the power, and the glory. John 6, Yeshua said, I am the bread of life. Let me ask you a question. Do we partake of the bread of life? Is that an active daily role for us? And to what end? You are partaking of the bread of life. What are you doing with it? To feed a hungry world. Not hungry for bread, although there are places in the world where people are hungry for bread. Not taking away the importance of that, but I'm talking about another meaning that is higher up. And that is a world that is hungry to know the truth, and they don't even know that they're hungry. But we're partaking of the bread of life. And so within us, we need to see an outworking of, because of the mercies of God, as we unfold it here in praise and worship, and then as part of life. Just an encouragement. And when it's all said and done, we can say amen, can't we? All right, let's review. We've been forgiven, and we walk like it. As children of God, we don't fear. We have compassion for others and forgive others as we are forgiven. We hallow our Father's name and pray for the coming of his kingdom on earth. We partake of the bread of life so that we can feed those who are hungry. I mean, is this, we could call this foundational maybe. Okay? All right, so remain seated. Let's recite some lines. This is the practical application. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. You can say this with me. You're allowed to speak now. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. Is that great or what? I know my name is clear before my Father. I am his child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardoned, I'll forgive my brother. The law of love I gladly will obey. I then shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so loved, I'll risk loving too. I know how fear builds walls instead of bridges. I'll dare to see another's point of view. And when relationships demand commitment, then I'll be there to care and follow through. This is pretty serious stuff. But is this not the life of the redeemed? Your kingdom come around and through and in me. Your power and glory, let them shine through me. Your hallowed name, oh, may I bear with honor. And may your living kingdom come in me. The bread of life, oh, may I share with honor. And may you feed a hungry world through me. Is that not awesome? That is awesome. All right, we're going to sing that song right now. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to start praise and worship in 5 minutes.